90 AM, Montreal.
You're listening to CJLO News. Monday, October 20th, pro-Palestinian protesters gathered outside of a Montreal mayoral leadership debate on Notre Dame Street West, hoping to get questions about Gaza on the agenda. While inside, candidates debated issues ranging from cycling infrastructure to housing outside. Protesters chanted and delivered speeches. Here is protester Rama Al-Mallah with the Palestinian Youth Movement.
We are here today at yet another mayoral event where the three party leaders are debating without Gaza being on the agenda. We are here today to demand once again that our candidates pledge on the platform.
The activists are calling on the candidates to take inspiration from former Montreal Mayor Jean Doré, who adopted a resolution cutting ties with South Africa during its apartheid regime in the 1980s. 35 years ago, Mayor Doré also established an anti-apartheid committee in Montreal to investigate and cut contracts with businesses that might be doing business with apartheid South Africa. Today, in 2025, pro-Palestinian activists want to see a similar approach taken toward Israel, a country that the International Court of Justice says is responsible for apartheid. Here is activist Rame speaking at another protest earlier this month discussing why she thinks Gaza is a valid issue at the municipal level.
When we say that we want to put Palestine on the agenda, we're saying that this is not a foreign issue. This is not happening, you know, across the world. Canada and Montreal is involved in this war just as much. And we have a role to, you know, end our complicity.
She says Montreal candidates could also pledge to refuse permits to companies that manufacture weapons, like General Dynamics, whose Montreal plant in Repentigny shipped military equipment to Israel as recently as July.
These are companies that are in our backyard, and we need to cut all permits, all ties with these companies in order to put pressure on Israel to end this genocide.
Craig Sauvay, the mayoral candidate for Transition Montreal, has aligned himself with the demands of these protesters, saying he would commit to ending these permits. Luc Rabouin, the mayoral candidate for the incumbent Projet Montréal, has said he supports a two-way arms embargo and stated in a council meeting earlier this month he would look into what tools the city had at its disposal to influence peace in Gaza.
À évaluer tous les leviers dont la ville dispose pour contribuer à mettre fin à la situation terrible qui arrive en ce moment en Palestine.
Soraya Martinez-Ferrada, the mayoral candidate for Ensemble Montréal, who is currently favored in the polls, said at a press conference in September she feels candidates' positions on Palestine should not affect their ability to address local issues.
On peut avoir des positions très différentes sur le conflit à Israël, à Gaza. Mais ce qui est important à Montréal, c'est de s'assurer que ces positions-là personnelles ne viennent pas teinter comment on veut gérer la ville.
With files from Jules Bugel, I'm Adam Minnis with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Happy Sunday, lovers. You're listening to Love Actually Needs Work, the show where we just think love could use a performance review at the very least. Today's episode is Girls Talk Unfiltered, but surprise, we brought one man into the chat for science, of course. Paul, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
We are also joined by two lovely ladies, Adriana and Maria. Do you guys want to say hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Okay, so the group chat's live. We're going to get into the mess now. So today, we're going to start by taking a deeper dive into a recent article that just came out in British Vogue by Shantae Joseph. I don't know if you guys have heard it. It's called, Is Having a Boyfriend Embarrassing Now?
Oh, I saw that.
Oh. Yeah.
I haven't read it, but I've heard people talk about it.
Paul, I heard some chatters over there.
Yeah, I did see, like, a reel about it.
Okay, great. So we're all generally aware of something. So essentially she argues that, like, relationships, especially the label boyfriend, comes with a new kind of social pressure. One quote, we're going to go through a couple of different quotes from the article, but one that really stood out for me was, being in a relationship doesn't feel like a flex anymore, right? I feel like for women, a lot of the time, especially when you're younger, there's this, like, kind of need. It's like, oh, I have to be in a relationship. Everyone else is in a relationship. It's cool to be in a relationship, XYZ. But then as you, like, actually start growing up and entering adulthood and everything, you're like, oh, maybe not. That's okay. You know, it's fine. But before, like, we kind of comment on this, I wanted to say what I really liked about this article was it wasn't just, like, an opinions piece where she, like, gave her opinion or, like, gathered a couple of other opinions from a few other women. She did, like, an anthropological study on this question. Okay. And she interviewed, like, women primarily in relationships from all across the world. So a lot of this, like, a lot of these quotes that we're going to go through and, like, stuff that's included in the article is not even something that single women are saying. Okay. So you can't even, like, clap back with this article and say, oh, you know, like, it's just single women being haters and whatever, because it's coming directly from women in relationships, which I thought was interesting, because normally when you see a piece like this, it's just like, it can come across as slightly man-hating perhaps, especially if it's just coming from, like, an opinions perspective. But I thought it was interesting that it was actual study. So all this being said, I guess, like, I want to turn the question to you guys. Like, is having a boyfriend no longer the, you know, we made it moment that it once was?
I don't think it is. No.
No? Yeah, I don't think so either, to be honest. No.
I think I'm happier for my friends when they tell me they're single than when they they're telling me that they have a boyfriend. Does that make sense? Because I'm like, oh, good for you.
Yeah.
You're not, like, getting into the pressures of society.
Yeah, as someone who is proudly, like, in her single era at the moment, I'm very happy that I'm living in a time frame where this article is coming out.
No, I agree. And I feel like over the past few months, too, or honestly, even the past year, I've noticed a lot with my friends, them, even the ones who are in relationships, just kind of a shift in their mentality of being like, this isn't against their partners, but they were like, if I wasn't in a relationship right now, I think I'd be okay with that. Yeah. And that's such a huge move from where we all were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Paul, do you have any insight? Do you think it's embarrassing to have, or I guess even to be a boyfriend now?
I don't know. I just think that, like, it's not a priority nowadays for a lot of people because of what society has become.
Right.
I think there's, like, that's a big factor in influencing that. Like, women are more worried about if they can make ends meet than, like, having a boyfriend.
you know what, Paul? So you're right. You're so right. I'm laughing, but it's actually very true. Yeah. He's not wrong.
No laughing.
No. Yeah. Another point that she makes in the article is this kind of, like, that we see this shift from seeing partnership as success to seeing independence as, like, this kind of newfound power. Mm-hmm. So she makes a quote that says, sometimes the girl who's unbothered and single is actually the real winner.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's kind of a little bit of what we just touched on, but I absolutely agree. Another thing that she said that I thought was interesting, I think might spark a little bit of a conversation between all of us, is she says that soft launching feels safer than a relationship announcement. What do you guys make of this?
I would say, like, in my friend group, my friends have been into the soft launching a lot more. Like, I remember, like, when I started dating, I did, like, a hard launch, and I don't know why I did that. That was so out of character for me. But now, like, my best friend's been dating this guy for, like, 2 years now.
Okay.
And she is, like, still hasn't soft launched him yet. And they talk about it, and they joke that, you know, they're going to finally soft launch or hard launch their relationship, like, on the wedding date or something.
Yeah. I personally think that a soft launch, because the world is so judgmental nowadays.
Is that
what you're gonna say? Yeah. I think it's safer in the sense that you're kind of, like, deterring away from, like, other people's judgment. I personally, like, I see a problem in keeping a relationship a secret, obviously,
I don't see a problem in keeping it private.
Mm-hmm. 100%, yeah.
So
it
I don't.
It feels safer when it's away from everybody.
I think so. I don't know. Paul, do you got any thoughts?
Personally, I mean, like, I do find it corny when I see, like, stories on, like, instance, like, the girl posting a guy's hand, like, that form of, like, soft launch, I think is...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people should, like, take pride in their relationship and, like, if you're truly committed to the relationship, like, just announce it. Like, by engaging yourself in the relationship, like, there's definitely going to be people that are, like, going to judge you.
Yeah.
Just, like, live with it. And, like you said, you hard launched. I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, even if you're in a relationship, that doesn't define you. So it's, like, I feel like maybe this is a question of how girls are feeling now, that maybe that's why they don't want a hard launch, because they're like, yeah, I got maybe a boyfriend, so what? Like, what does that change about me at the core, you know?
Yeah. She also talks, like, a lot about, like, a woman's reputation in this article. So, like, she suggests that by being someone's girlfriend, it means sharing the risk of their behavior. So, like, if he acts foolish, it reflects on you. And I'm so unbelievably happy that she touched on this, because people, I don't think, like, really take this into consideration enough when they're dating someone. Like, for me personally, right, if I'm dating someone, like, I'm thinking long term, ultimately. And that means that I want to be able to bring them to, like, work events that I'm having. I want to be able to bring them to, like, family events and, like, friend events, or if I'm going on a business trip, maybe I, like, want to bring them along, or if I'm having, like, you know, an office Christmas party, like, for a million different reasons, right?
You want them to be a part of your life.
Yeah, and I need that person to almost be, like, an extension of myself, not in the sense that, like, we're so connected that it's whatever, but that you're acting appropriately, right? Like, I would... the kind of person that I am, I wouldn't bring someone to, like, an office party who just got done working on the farm. And that's not, like, a diss to anyone that works on the... No, but it's really not. Like, it's not a diss to anyone who works on a farm. Love cowboys. They're great. but, like, for me personally in my life, that kind of, like, demeanor, aesthetic, whatever, doesn't really fit my life. So I think, like, it's important, and we actually need to acknowledge this when we're dating someone, that, like, unless it's, like, the most amazing man or woman in the world and they're the love of your life, that changes things. But if they're not, we really need to start, like, considering how this person is representing us when they're, like, out and about, right?
No, I agree. Because, I mean, like, even not just in dating, but in other just relationships that you have as well, like the old saying that you are who you hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people that you are surrounding yourselves with, it influences your behavior, and it also influences how other people view you and engage with you. And it's like, that is still important.
And also, like, look at pop culture. Like, how many women have been brought down by the men that they're with?
That's true.
Just in the last year alone, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to name any names, but we can all think of a few examples.
Yeah. One of the last quotes that I want to highlight before we move on to the next section is she makes a point of saying, maybe the embarrassment isn't love, it's just picking the wrong person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point, right? Like, this whole thing, oh, I'm a fool when I'm in love. Maybe you're just, like, not dating the right person.
Yeah.
Sorry, the whole fool in love thing, I don't really buy it. I know that you can do, like, some crazy things when you're in love, but to be an absolute fool, maybe I just haven't experienced that kind of love yet. I don't know, but...
Well, that's a really good point, because it makes me think about, like, kind of what you were saying earlier about, like, when you're in love with somebody and you're in a relationship with somebody and you want to be, like, proud of it, like, you don't want to hide. I wonder how much of this soft launching is, like...
testing the waters?
Yeah, if it's testing the waters, if it's, like, fear of external judgment, or if it is that kind of internalized, I know that people aren't going to like him very much, but I don't want to deal with the consequences of that.
Well, it's like showing your friend group, like, a picture of a crush and having to do, like, the whole disclaimer of, like, so this is not his best picture. I promise he doesn't look like that.
Yeah. He's different in person. Yeah.
It's true. It's true. All right. We're going to move on to our next segment, which is red flag or miscommunication. So I'm going to read out a couple of different like cases or examples that have been sent in. And we're going to decipher whether we think they are a red flag by this person or just generalized miscommunication.
Okay. So excited.
All right. Are you ready, Paul? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So the first one, I'm calling it the ex-historian. So he knows exactly what his ex is doing because she just happens to be in all his recent TikTok likes and his Instagram searches and his daily antidotes, but totally over her. So do we think that he is in the healing process or he's still in love?
He's still in love.
Still in love. there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Will we say that's a red flag or a miscommunication?
It's a red flag.
Red flag.
The red flag. Yep. Great. That one was straightforward.
There's no way.
Let's move on to the next one.
There's no way we could even start to try it.
Oh, yeah. It's just straight up manipulation, I think. Next one I called the breadcrumb baker. So, thank you. He sends miss you, kissy face, but never once proposes an actual plan to see you. Hovered feelings with no action. So do we think that these little breadcrumbs that he's leaving for this girl are better than nothing, or they're just emotional carbs?
He's just trying to keep his roster alive.
Exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking you're on the list.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. You're like his plan B, C, or D.
Right? Yeah, you're not the priority.
No.
Facts. Well, you heard it here, guys. Not the priority. All right.
I'll fall for that.
Literally. Next one, the career mystery man.
Oh, God.
So you're... this is really... You're 6 months in, still no idea what his job is, tech, real estate, crypto, ? His only description, I make money online. Should careers be transparent early, or does the labeling add pressure?
Okay. The labeling add pressure, that is such a weird thing. That just also, it feels like if I don't
know
a basic fact about you 6 months in, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's not even, like, I'm not...
6 months in, you should be my boyfriend at this time.
Yeah, that feels so strange. It's like, what are you hiding? Why are you being so weird about it?
Maybe he just doesn't have a job.
Yeah. But it's also, like, I'd like to know that by this point. That is so strange.
Or maybe he's a pimp.
But also, how do we know if his values align with ours if we don't know that the money he makes online is through OnlyFans?
Is it
selling courses on how to be an entrepreneur?
Maybe he's committing investment fraud.
Does he resell t-shirts and sneakers? I don't know.
Making money online is like the sketchiest thing you could say.
Exactly. Yeah. So to me, that would just say that you're unemployed.
Yeah. And that's fine, but like say that.
Yeah. Well, it's actually not fine. You should have a job.
Well, it depends on the circumstance. Maybe he's looking. Whatever. But
I don't care what job you have, but if you're a grown man, you need to have a job, or you need to be like actively looking for one.
No, for sure. I agree. And like, it just, that feels like such a basic, like, I know where my friends work after like a few weeks of talking to them.
I know where people like work after the end of the first conversation with them. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. All right. Our last case file for this section, the love you confusion. So he says, I love you, then immediately goes, not like that, then kisses you. Oh. Miscommunication or weaponized ambiguity?
Weaponized ambiguity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's not miscommunication. Oh, I love you, not like that.
I'm obsessed with all of you. These are miscommunication. These are just, like, worst-case scenarios.
It's funny, because there was a guy that I was dating once. And this was like maybe like a year or two ago, and we went out literally for a week, like a week. We went out every single day for a week because it was, I think it was over like reading week or something. So we had extra time. And by the sixth date, I want to state that I did not know this man previously.
Okay.
Met on the first date, dated for 6 days. Great, great dates. You know, enjoyed his company, was fine. Mm-hmm. Then on the sixth date, he's dropping me back at home and, you know, gives me like a hug to say goodbye and then goes, okay, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh. And then I went, ooh. And then he's like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Okay, bye. And then I was like, what the heck? And then I sent him a text 30 seconds later saying that we were done. Because I was like, what? 6 days? I've had milk in my fridge longer. That's ridiculous. All right, we're going to take a break on that note. And we will be back right after this.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Hey, radio listeners. Have you ever wondered what your favorite characters would listen to? Better yet, imagined a soundtrack for your favorite movie or book? If the answer is yes, then tune into Something for the Mood every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, Zoe, and I invite you to explore a new topic with me through music both new and old, but always funky, each week. To quote the wise words of iconic duo Chibo Motto, you got to know your chicken. And if you do, you'll tune into Something for the Mood every week. See you all there.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. My mama said nothing good happens
when it's late and you're dancing alone. All right, guys, we are back. And we're going to kick it off with a new little segment called Cute or Confusing. So this is another fun little game. But before we get into this game, I have a question that I want to ask you guys. Since Halloween just recently passed, how do we feel about the talking stage? Because to me, the talking stage is kind of like a haunted house a little bit. Yeah, I feel like there's nothing scarier than being exclusive, like, unofficially. Mm. I was curious because I feel like a lot of the time people use the talking stage as, like, an excuse to just not be in a relationship.
Right.
When, in fact, like, the talking stage should be done in, like, a week. Yeah. I'm going to be so real. Like, let's say you've met someone on a dating app, right? Because that's typically how people are meeting people these days. Yeah. You meet someone on a dating app. We're talking. By the end of, like, the first few conversations, you should have a general idea of if you want to go out with me or not.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then move along.
Like, no, and I think that's genuinely so fair because it is just being more, honestly, what's the term, like, communicative?
Yeah.
About what you actually want. Because if we're spending, yeah, like, a month in the talking stage, it's like, well, okay.
Exactly.
Do you want me or do you not? Like, what exactly are we doing here? What are we moving towards?
Like, there's like 15 different stages. Like, oh, we're talking, now we're dating, but we're not exclusive. But, like, you know, basically, like, don't see anyone else, though. But, you know, you can't call me your boyfriend.
We love to live in this ambiguity right
what
now.
What is this?
So, it goes back to the soft launch thing.
If you're like, not my boyfriend, then get out of here. Get out of here. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm a busy lady. I don't have time. I don't have time for the games. Yeah. Okay? Paul, what's your thought on an extended talking stage?
I don't know. I mean, haven't, like, experienced that, so I can't, like, personally comment on it.
Why, like, do you think a guy would, like, extend a talking stage so long?
maybe distance.
Yeah. Is it because there's, like, other girls that he's talking to? The silence like, is deafening.
If there's no, like, distance, like, let's say, like, they meet on a dating app and, like,
yeah,
one's on a trip right after something.
Well, yeah, but that's, like, an exceptional...
Then, if not, she's probably, like, plan A or plan B on the roster.
Yeah.
My theory is that he might extend, like, the talking stage because he's just trying to wait and see if he's willing to be exclusive with you.
Right. Like, right.
If, kind of waiting to see if, like, this is worth his time or if it's worth, like, just closing himself up for that. Does that make sense? I feel like that's the only, like...
Yeah.
That I can think of.
Yeah, but... I agree. Well, with that being said, now we're going to transition into our game, Cute or Confusing. So, number one, the playlist puzzle. He makes you a playlist called For My Favorite Person, but every song is about heartbreak, betrayal, and moving on. Is this a romantic gesture or just a sneaky breakup foreshadowing? Guys, we don't need to think about this. He's breaking up with you.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know if I would call it breakup foreshadowing. That's
for
just,
my
like,
favorite
not
person, for my but favorite like read between like, the lines, yeah. Lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't even, sorry. I wouldn't say this is cute or confusing.
No.
I would say this is.
It's just
crappy.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's like, if I got that, I'd be like, well, what the hell, dude?
I'd be like, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you'll have a good playlist to get you through, you know?
Like, maybe.
What if the playlist's bad, though?
Yeah, just bad taste.
Well, then more of a reason to break up with each other.
Yeah. We're just incompatible.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the next one. Let's say she adds your birthday to her phone. And also your mom's phone. And your dog's adoption date. Is this thoughtful or dangerously interested? I think we're going to kick this one off with Paul, since this is like a female-centered one.
Dangerously interested.
mean, wait, do we have a timeline? When does this happen?
Like,
I think there should be boundaries between, like, parents and...
Right.
Like, yeah. But I'm speaking also as, like, from my point of view as someone who doesn't have, like, a very good relationship with my parents. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm being honest, if I dated someone, I would not tell my parents. Mm. Because I just really have god-awful relationship with them.
Right.
But, like, even if you have a good relationship with your parents, I think there should be boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, what, when in the timeline?
I don't know. Let's just say, like, the first couple weeks, month.
Okay, that's psychotic.
Really? Okay, because here's the thing, is I think that it's kind of thoughtful, and I'm going to explain why.
Okay. no, I'm like, I'm genuinely, because I'm like midway right now. So.
Yeah, because for me, like, I personally would want someone who is, like, interested in the little things about me. Mm. And not everyone's memory is fantastic.
For sure.
Right? Sometimes people's memory suck. My memory sucks. So there's been, like, a few guys, like, over the years where, like, you know, in the first couple months of dating them, they've kept, like a little, like, notes app about all the different things that I like or the places that I like to go to and, you know, whatever. And part of that is, like, are you maybe just lazy and don't want to remember this? Or it's, like, do you actually have a bad memory? But I think things like if you're dating someone and, like, planning to get serious with them... Mm-hmm. If they start, like, you know, putting your birthday into their phone or jotting down some things that you like, I personally think that that is, as someone with a poor memory who does the same thing so that I can remember it and not look like an a-hole.
I was going to say the same thing. I actually appreciate that.
Yeah.
That element of, like, especially if you know that you have a bad memory and you're actively doing something
to subvert
that and to support it. I think that that's great. However, the only bit is that it's, like, if it's, like, 2 weeks in and you're doing, like, the dog adoption.
Yeah, that's a bit,
like,
much.
Okay, but,
I agree.
Like, on the whole, actually taking that extra step, I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a fine line. The birthday is fine at any point.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
But then the mom's birthday and the dog's birthday and then, I don't know, other things, there's got to be a timeline for that.
Yeah. All right, next one. She posts, she or he posts you on their story, but covers your face with a giant emoji every single time. Is this protecting privacy or hiding the evidence?
I mean, like, if you're a celebrity, then, like...
We're just normal people.
If you're just normal people, that's very weird.
Yeah.
Like, why are you hiding me?
It's just cringe, like...
Yeah. Also, with an emoji, like, just crop me out at that point.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you putting an emoji
on
my
face? Yeah, so insecure. I'd be like, am I...
Yeah, well, like, I feel like you just don't like my face. Yeah. Everything else is good.
That's so bad for your aesthetic. To do if I didn't ask. Like, if I'm asking for the privacy, then, like, that's fine. But, like, if you're
then crop me out. Why are we, like... And, like, I have been just, like, you know, because you guys know that I'm not dating for, like, the next little bit, seriously, mm-hmm. right? But occasionally I'll give, like, a scroll on the dating apps because I'm bored, right? And I've been noticing in these guys' profiles, for some reason, they, like... put pictures of themselves with woman in their profile, but then
sister, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but then they're covering the face of the woman with an emoji, and that's in their profile. And I'm like, one, I don't know if they're just putting these pictures to be like, I get girls, you know, women like me. But it's not having that effect.
No, it's probably because you think they just look good in it.
But then crop the girl out. Why are we putting an emoji on her face?
I had a conversation about this with my sister.
Yeah, maybe.
We were like, why are they putting these pictures with these women and covering their face? And then I think we came up to the conclusion that it's kind of like performative. Like
yeah.
Being a performative male. Because they're like, look, maybe. I can be friends with women. I'm a feminist. Like, I like women, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
But if she's your friend, like, you don't need to crop her face or anything. That's why, like...
But maybe she doesn't want to be seen on Tinder in your profile.
No.
She doesn't want to be seen.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't... Like, I don't think you should put your friends out there without their consent.
Right, right.
But, like, it's definitely not their friends. Like, if they're cropping their face...
Like, yeah, exactly.
Notice. Exactly. I will help my sister.
Any insider dating advice, you can reach out to Paul. He has it.
Oh, this is great. I'm loving this.
All right. They turn on their location sharing for safety before you've even gone on date number two. See, part of me wants to be like, okay, for safety, if there's an actual valid reason and they genuinely have no one else to, like, share their location to, or potentially they're on the way to your second date and they're sharing it with you, that would maybe make a little bit more sense to me. But I think, personally for me, like, I would share it with my mother before I would share it with someone else that, like, I was, you know what I mean? Like, I'd probably share it with one of you guys before I shared it with a random man. Like,
I find the location sharing just in general kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I understand for security and safety related reasons. Like, when you're going to meet somebody for the first time, especially if they're online.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, just in general, the entire, this is kind of vaguely off topic, I suppose, but the entire culture around, like, constantly everybody knowing their partner's
where
location all the time.
No, that's creepy to me.
Yeah.
It's, like, I would say this is, like, probably the worst red flag I've heard today.
And with the location sharing?
Yeah, because it's, like, it's telling me that you're going to be controlling. And it's telling me that, because there's this thing on Messenger where you can share the location for 50 minutes at a time,
right.
or 55 minutes, and then
right.
if you're actually concerned about my location and if I'm safe,
right.
then you would ask me to turn that on for
right.
50 minutes.
Or but, like, if you're being kidnapped, you probably can't just turn that on. If you're in the middle of being, like, you know,
listen,
abducted, maybe.
Location sharing, like, my parents are sharing their location with each other, and I'm just like, why are you guys doing that? Like, you call each other 8 times a day,
right?
Like, I
see the perspective for sure. I think I wouldn't do it with someone that I just met, but if it was somebody that, like, I was in a long-term relationship with and had been in a long-term relationship with them for, like, a decent amount of time, like upwards of a year or more, I personally wouldn't have a problem with it so long as they're not, like, possessive about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as long as they're, you know, I don't want a guy that's like, where are you? You got to come home. Like, I'm coming to get you. Yeah, no, get lost. Get lost. Yeah. Like, but if it's genuinely just, like, on there to be like, yeah, you know, the world is, like, a messed up place and I just want to make sure that you're getting where you need to go safely because I care about you and I love you, I think that's okay.
For sure.
I don't know, Paul, how are your thoughts on location sharing?
I mean, I don't know any guys who share their location, personally. Like, I think it's something, like, that women do. And I understand, like, why they would. Because right. There's a lot of evil men out there who facts, never know.
Yes. Yes. Like,
I don't know, I think it's pretty crazy, like, especially on the second date.
Right. But let's say, like, you were in a relationship with someone and your girlfriend said, hey, like, for safety reasons, I think we should share our locations with each other. Would you do that or no?
Personally, no, I don't think I would.
Okay.
I just don't want to be, like...
Yeah. No, that kind of aligns with Maria's view, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
Not necessarily.
I think so. I think he said basically the same thing you just said.
But it's like... The guy asks you to share the location.
But why is it different?
Because
why is it different if a guy or a girl asks?
Doing it to actually control me. But if the girl is doing it, right. She's doing it because she's actually concerned for her safety.
No, but if a girl is asking a guy to share his location.
Oh, yeah, that's the same. I agree with
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's a trust thing, yeah.
All right. We're on the same page, I suppose. all right, last one. They ask if your future kids will like cats. You've only kissed once at a Halloween party in a costume. Cute fantasy or confusing speed?
Confusing speed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Confusing speed.
No, that's a little crazy. I don't know how many men on, like, the first two or three dates, honestly, sometimes even the first date, will, like, ask me, be like, how do you feel about marriage? Or, like, do you want children? How many children do you want? Oh, my God. Recently being probably, like, 4 or 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to this guy just on text and everything, like, hadn't gone out, nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was like we hadn't even called yet or anything.
Yeah.
This is like one of our first text conversations. And he says to me, he's like, oh yeah, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I was like, oh, it's kind of a weird question to ask me right now. Well, that's fine.
Kind of a job interview question.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus. Okay, but whatever. I'm like, well, you know, like, living here, successful, good family, good friends, XYZ, right? And I'm like, how about you? And then he goes, oh, well, basically the same thing, but then, like, with a family and kids, right? And he's like, how do you feel about kids? And I'm like, wow, okay, well, I don't really know how I feel about children yet because I'm 23 years old and I don't know you. Yeah. so I'm like, yeah, that's my response because I was just like, one, crazy that you're asking me this mm-hmm. question right now. Mm-hmm. Haven't even heard your voice yet, okay?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, you're asking about children. Don't even know what you sound like.
That's wild.
But it's also, like, I'm 23 years old. May, like, in the future, would I potentially want children when I meet the right person? Sure. I don't know. Do I want them right now? Absolutely not. No way in heck do I want kids right now. And then it was right after I said that, he goes, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to continue this conversation.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. Oh. And then he goes, yeah, like, you know, I just need my partner to be on the same page as me. And I was like, right, but, like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to stress the fact that we do not know each other. Okay. So that's my two cents on that last question.
I mean, honestly, I can already tell, like, what type of guy that is. Like,
what type of guy is that, Paul? Please explain.
I feel like it's the type of guy who's, like, quote-unquote red-pilled.
Yeah, the type of guy that wants a trad wife.
Yeah. Like, already talking about, like,
yuck.
Kids, like, this obsession with, like, this.
Yeah.
All
in immediately.
Yeah.
Book the hospital room now.
No.
Oh, man.
I
All right, we're going to move on to our next session, which is technically called Girl Code Court.
Okay.
But I'm curious, because I want to ask Paul before we get into this. Do boys have a boy code?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
Great. Is it, like, relatively the same to, like, what girl code is?
I mean, I need to know what, like, girl code is.
Like, give me an example of, like, what is an example of boy code?
I mean, something basic, like, that would relate to, like, dating and stuff is, like, don't hit up, like, your boy's
yeah.
ex.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I think it's relatively the same thing. So yeah. We'll call it boy slash girl code court. It doesn't have the greatest ring to it, but that's what we're going to be doing. So yeah. I'm going to give some, like, examples of situations, and then we will issue our verdict.
Okay.
Okay, so first example. So the defendant is the friend with main character vibes. The crime: every guy or girl who likes you starts also liking her. Mm. And their defense is, I can't help it, I'm irresistible. What do we think, guys? I think that's a straight up violation.
I think she's doing stuff. She's Ariana Grande-ing them.
What does that mean?
Well, she steals everybody's boyfriend.
Okay, we're going to talk about that later. Because I don't like that.
No, I think that, like, on its face, you can't yeah. help if somebody is
sure.
into somebody else, whatever. Yeah, but yeah. the reaction,
but if every be, single
like,
person,
if it's every single person, and the reaction of like, well, yeah. I just can't help it. I mean, that's like so dismissive.
Yeah,
to
I'm
situation.
Just so petite and pretty, and yeah, everyone loves me. No. Oh my god, Paul, what are your thoughts? Is that a violation?
I mean, yeah, you can't like be making moves on.
Facts.
People your friends are making yeah. moves on.
Don't make
it's
moves.
It's like, why are you being supportive? Especially yeah. somebody like, I don't know.
Yeah, this recently happened to me. Like, back in the summertime, I had this friend, and we had been friends for, like about a year at this point. Mm. So it wasn't a crazy long friendship, but, like, long enough.
Still substantial.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't, like, I didn't just know her for, like, a week or two. We were getting, like, very close and everything. And she wasn't really dating much, but I was dating quite a bit, and she was like, every time I'd tell her about like stories, she'd be like, oh, like, you know, I want to get back out there. Mm-hmm. But she was like very shy to talk to people in person. So I like, you know, kind of suggested to her and was like, oh, why don't you go on the apps and everything? They're not great, but like, it's better than nothing, right? Give it a try. So she downloaded the app, so then we go out, and she's scrolling through her app with me. I think it was Hinge. And she's, like, you know, clicking right on a bunch of people that, like, have liked her. And, like, a lot of them were guys that, like, I had talked to in the past and everything. Mm-hmm. But I said nothing because I was like, I don't even like these guys anyway, so I could care less, mm-hmm. right? But then there was one guy that when she was showing me, like, her messages mm-hmm. that I saw she was speaking to, and it was like a guy, I wouldn't necessarily call him like a full-on ex, but like we had been speaking for like about a month, and like we went out, and he was very like, you know, like, oh, I really like you, like he right. fake proposed to me with a ring pop, like,
wow,
yeah, I
so
like
he wasn't a full ex, but he was a something.
Yeah, he was a something for
situationship.
Sure
situationship.
I wouldn't even say it was a situationship, not on my end, because I thought that it was actually, like, going somewhere.
Okay.
And then out of the blue, like, literally after one of our dates, he was like, yeah, we'll go out again and everything. And then vibes were off for the next couple mm-hmm. of days. And then he sent me a text being like, yeah, we don't work and everything. And then 5 days later, he, like, posted a picture with his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah. So, and she knew the story of this guy. She knew what he looked like. Like, she knew the whole thing, right? And so I was like, oh, like, why is he there, right? Why are you talking to him? And she goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know, plain old innocent. And I'm like, well, you know who that is. And she goes, oh my God. Like, I, you know, I didn't even realize. Like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, okay, well, like, are you going to, like, you know, remove him? Like, stop talking to him? And then she goes, well, no, but I'll be sure to tell him that I hate him on our date.
Oh, that is so dismissive.
That was the first way she responded to me. Like, verbatim, that's exactly what she said. Oh, and I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm like,
friends with her still.
No, no, no. But I was like, sorry, you're going to go on a date with him? Like, I've just told you that I'm uncomfortable with this, and that would kind of hurt me for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And you know the whole story already.
Yeah.
So, like, why would you even consider going on a date with me or with him? And then she's like, well, if he asks me, like, you know. And I'm like, but why are you still going to speak to him?
Yeah.
I'm like, you shouldn't have been speaking to him in the first place. But now that, let's just say you're aware.
Yeah, you we brought him.
Like, you certainly should be removing him. And then it was like, when she saw that I was getting upset, she was like, oh, I will, you know, don't worry about it. Like, you know, I would never do that to you. I'm thinking you already did that to me, but whatever. Yeah.
And I assumed that was the truth and it fully ended.
And- yeah. And then for like 2 weeks, she was just like avoiding me. We weren't really talking and everything. And then we made a plan to go on Friday. And then that Friday morning, I get a text from her, not even a call, just a text. And she goes, hey, I just wanted to let you know that, like, I've been talking. Let's just call him. His name wasn't Sam, but let's just call him Sam. You know, I've been talking to Sam and we've been going out for the last 2 weeks and it's been going really well. And, like, you know, I just hope that, like, you know, you can understand because I felt like you deserve to know the truth. I'm thinking...
I deserve. You're not even calling me.
Oh, yeah, you're not even calling me or, like, speaking to me in person. Yeah. You're telling me this over a text. But also, you've been lying to me for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right now, you feel like I deserve to know the truth? Why? Because yeah, you knew I was going to go off on you if I found out in person?
Never respected you.
Oh, but it got so much worse. It got so much worse. All of that stuff happened in the summer and everything.
Yeah.
And she goes to school here, right? And on this campus.
I hope she's listening to this.
And on this campus as well. And so I was like intermittently running into her in the summertime. And there was like a couple of times and she was like, she'd be with him like on campus. And she was like, oh yeah, like we're together now. He's my boyfriend. I just hope you can be happy for me. And like blah, 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 blah. And like this happened multiple times, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was just kind of like, oh my god, like I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, what the heck are you talking about?
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. And then I went off on her one day and then she started crying. Because I was rude. I'm not. I was super rude. But
I
like,
mean, she broke the code.
She broke the thank code, you, actually. Paul. She broke the code. So you know what?
And then she kept like
rubbing it in my face.
Yeah. It in, like that's not even do you break the code, but then you don't even like feel bad about it. You're not even like.
Oh no, she did not give enough.
Trying to like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she just really likes breaking it. She'd break it, then reinstate it, then break it again.
Can I say what I think it was? And it makes me sound a little, like, potentially narcissistic to say this. And I truly don't mean it in that way. But I really think she was one of those women that, like, wanted to prove that she could have something that I couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, because just the way that she carried on for, like, over a month afterwards with this... is like taunting me and whatever, like in person to my face and being like, I just, you're so dramatic. I don't understand why you can't be happy for me. Like, blah, blah, blah.
No, no.
It fully just felt like she wanted some, like she wanted to show me that she got what I couldn't have.
For sure.
I've had this situation happen to me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Like, it was just, it was when I was dating, I was dating my boyfriend, and my best friend tried to get with him during the summer before me and her reconnected, because we reconnected in CJEP, so the summer before CJEP, she tried to get with him, and he turned her down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, almost a year later, I started dating him, and she didn't tell me that backstory, right?
Right.
But when she found out that I'm dating this guy, she was so mean to me. She literally lost it on me. And it was, and I didn't understand why, because, you know, she was my best friend, and she was spinning it like, oh, how dare you date somebody and not tell me? That's how she was trying to spin it.
Yeah.
But then, like, a year later, my boyfriend told me, like, the actual context, and I was like, oh, so that's what that was about. You know, she was just really mad that I was
people
dating
are interesting.
Someone that she thought was hers.
Well... on that note, we're going to jump into ads and we will be right back after this.
Prepare for the fright of your life because this Halloween, Ballroom is taking you sinners to church.
Spooky! Godfather Silver Old Navy and Auntie Mag's Old Navy present the What the Halloween Kiki Ball. It'll be a spooktastic night of tricks, treats, and vogue, Miss Thing. Looking to satiate your ghoulish cravings? Auntie D's Kitchen will be serving up their famous patties, refreshments, and, for one night only, a special Halloween platter. And they're not the only ones who'll be serving it up, honey. With paranormal performance, fearsome fashion, and creepy creations never before seen, it'll be a night to die for. We've got Moonstar 007 and Mag's Old Navy on MC duty, and Father Cherry KFC on the decks. Join us on Friday, October 31st at 6 p.m. in the St. Edward Church basement at 425 Beaubien East for a Halloween you'll never forget. For more information on tickets and event details, follow the Montreal Kiki Ballroom Alliance on socials at MTL_KBA. CGLO is a proud partner / co-presenter of the What the Halloween Kiki Ball.
What the Halloween? Be spooky or get spooked.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich, and let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just...
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams, and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. So, yeah, you should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number's 514-848-7471. And we're on CGLO Mondays at 4 p.m. And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
Hey, it's Alicia Clara. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
All right, guys, we're back, and we're going to jump into our last segment today because we only have 8 minutes left. So this is Love Lessons from Our Worst Decisions. So we're going to start with round one. I'm calling it the Delusional Diaries, okay? What was the dumbest thing that you convinced yourself was a green flag, but it was actually a red flag? Let's just go around the room. Paul, do you want to start us off?
I've never been in a relationship.
That's okay, Paul.
So I can't, like, comment.
Let's just say, like, even just in, like, someone you've met, just generally speaking, like, someone you met as a friend or whatever, and you were like, oh, this person's, like, super nice, but actually, like, maybe they're not.
I don't know. I feel like something I try to do more often now with, like, friendship and stuff is to know their political views.
Yes. That's a good one.
Like, that's something...
Agreed.
I've been, like, really focused on when I meet people. Yeah. That I think could be, like, good friends.
I agree. Absolutely. Adriana, you got any thoughts?
Oh. I feel like I'm just, like, too, like, alert for, like, where are the red flags?
You're like, it's all red flag.
It's all red flags over here. I guess maybe the, not even just in dating situations, but even in friendships, like, people who are too immediate to give you things, pay for things, all yes. like, the whatever, and you're like, oh, wow, that's so lovely, and then immediately there comes, at least in my experience a few times,
mm-hmm.
a, oh, well, I've done all of this for you.
Yeah.
Where is my
now give me something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, mine is really silly, and I have to preface this by saying that in high school I was stupid, madly in love with one boy.
All right.
Silliness.
I convinced myself that him bullying me was a sign that he really liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just lived off of that hope for I don't even want to yeah. talk about for how long. He did not like me. And
it happened
because he knew he liked me. I liked him, and it happened. He was just—he knew he was going to get away with it.
Yeah.
So don't fall for that.
I think for me, it's like, I acknowledge that it's a red flag, but I love it still.
I know.
Like, I still love it. No, but it's a different one than yours. but it's like when you first start seeing a guy and they're just so, like, focused on you. Like, they're so invested in you immediately. And I'm not just talking, like, you know, taking the time to listen to you and take you on nice dates. Like, I'm talking, like, is texting you all day long, right, every single day. The, like,
obsessive.
Yeah. So it's like, I acknowledge that that's a red flag, but still to this day, sometimes for
it
the first.
Nice to have attention.
Yeah, it does. Like, and for the first couple of weeks, like, I'll just trick myself and I'll be like, oh, that's really nice. And then, like, after I come back down to planet Earth, I'm like, oh, maybe we need to call witness protection. All right. With that being said, what is the one? No, I guess that's kind of too similar to this. Maybe I want to say, I have a bunch of questions here, guys, and I'm trying to pick the best one to say. Oh, did you ever date someone because they were available, not because they were, like, right for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does anyone want to, like, share a moment when they did that?
You go first. Okay, this sounds really bad. I have my reasons. But every single time I've dated somebody.
It happens.
Because
I understand.
It's been, like, it's that kind of thing we were talking about a little bit earlier, I think, where that pressure to be in a relationship, whether it was for proving my sexuality, doing any of the, like, just feeling like you're part of the, I don't know, like, you're doing life right, I guess. There is that element of, like, I want to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just kind of like, who was available to fill that role?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sitting in a space where I don't want that to be the case. And I actively, it's terrible because you're doing that to somebody too, which is like a shit thing to do.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, like, I don't even have a specific example because it's literally every single time I've dated.
Well, I guess jumping off that then, I kind of want to ask the question to the room of, like, when is the time where you decided that you were going to choose, like, your own peace over partnership with someone? Because for me, it's like the minute that you make me even want to shed a tear or you make my lip quiver in some form of sadness, out. The minute that I start breaking out in zits because of the stress that you cause me, out. Like, those are my two things. If you make me want to cry or punch a pillow, I'm done.
I love that.
Because you shouldn't be bringing me sadness and stress. So that's my, like, general thing. How about you guys?
When I feel like I'm not a priority.
Yeah, facts.
Or at least, in the beginning, at least, like, maybe I wouldn't want to be a priority. But I'd still be want to be top five.
Yeah. Top five?
Top
three, you know? Like,
the only person that should be in front of me is his mom, or if he's got a kid, the kid.
Yeah, but now, like, that I'm in, like, a serious relationship, I'd say, if I'm not a priority, like,
yeah. Very true. Paul, it can even just be on a general
level. I mean,
level.
I've kept my peace my whole life.
Good
so,
for you, Paul.
Yeah, so, I mean, I am, like, getting interested at the idea of dating.
Right.
Because, like, I'm starting to feel better in my head after a couple of rough years that I've gone through.
That's awesome.
But I don't know. I feel like a person should feel ready first.
Yeah.
And, like,
no, absolutely. I agree.
If they don't feel like it, then they should just keep their peace. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, being single. I think, that's a positive aspect in how, like, Western society has progressed.
Yeah.
Where people are, like, starting to be, like, there's way less societal pressure to settle down, have kids, or have a significant other.
Yeah.
You can just be yourself until you want, or if you don't want.
Yeah.
And that's that, yeah. You know?
No, I agree. And I think that's a good note to end it on. So, today, we learned men are confused, but so are we. Communication is sexy. If he wants to, he will. And if he won't, you deserve someone who does. So thank you, guys. This has been Love Actually Needs Work. We're on every Sunday at 3 p.m. And if you want to stay updated with everything, you can check us out on Instagram at Love Actually Needs Work. And also at CGLO, it is our funding drive time. It's going on until November 7th. We still have one more event happening on Wednesday. It's our mixtape launch at Bar Willis.
Next Friday.
Yeah, but that's not an open thing for the public. So just for the public on Wednesday, stay tuned. We have a lot of great things happening for the rest of the day. And I will catch you next Sunday. Bye.